Blog Talk Radio.
W-A-X-E-T-H. That means it's worn out.
and waxed old because of mine enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity. And iniquity means sins or wickedness. For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The word supplication means prayer. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and sore vexed. That means, again, tormented or bothered. Let them return and be ashamed suddenly. I have read to you from the book of Psalms, chapter 1, and it's not chapter 1, chapter 6, verses 1 through 10. I've read chapter 6 of Psalms in its entirety. I pray that our Heavenly Father will give you understanding of what has been read. Now, sheep, did you think to pray this morning when you got up? Or when your eyes woke up? When your eyes were awakened by our Heavenly Father, did you stop to thank Him? Let's do that right now. If you have not had the opportunity to say a prayer this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for all things. We thank you for waking us up this morning. We thank you for being able to move and do all things, talk to our family and our loved ones, and pray for them and with them. We pray, our Heavenly Father, that you will go into the hospitals and heal the sick this day and every day, and make it where the doctors become astonished to the point that they will say, my goodness, if this keeps happening, we will have no one to service. Heal this, those who have mental disabilities and all diseases. I pray that prayer in Yeshua's name, also known as Jesus, also Father God. We sheep thank you for not letting our flight come in winter or on the Sabbath day. We thank you for keeping natural disasters away as well as chemical disasters away from Detroit, Michigan, your blessed city. Thank you for giving us sheep sane, sound mind. Thank you for restoring us. Thank you for unifying us lost sheep to know who we are, that we are the children of Israel, and for shaming those who are lying and saying they are your sheep. Thank you for giving us excellent health, love, family, peace, courage, boldness, prosperity in everything. And of course, from waking us up from that deep sleep under the lie that we have been told for centuries. I say this prayer in Yeshua's name, also known as Jesus. Amen. This is the Feed My Sheep Show. I am Sandra Harris, your host. Happy Sabbath, everyone. The only day in the Bible that tells you to keep holy and rest. Read it for yourselves. You'll find it in Exodus chapter 20. I think it may be verse 8, but I'm not quite sure. You'll also find it, the Ten Commandments, in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 5. Verses 7 through 21, where our Heavenly Father blessed the Sabbath day, or the seventh day, when He had finished doing all of his creating. Sabbath is observed starting Friday evening and ending on Saturday evening. I read from the King James Version of the Bible. You longtime sheep know that I want you to have your pen, paper, and pencil ready just in case I say something that you may want to jot down. Last week, I recall mentioning to you that I was going to call in, see if I could get the particulars on our feast days. I want you sheep to know, and all of you sheep to know, and those who are not sheep, know that I, and on this program, we follow the annual days, God's annual feast days, and you'll find those in the book of Leviticus, chapter 23. Now, I did not receive a call back from the place where I want to tell you all to go and spend the Passover. Now, let me just read to you what I have found out about the Passover. It's in the Old Testament, meaning a lamb was sacrificed and its blood was placed around the doors of the Israelites' houses in Egypt, which God passed over when slaying the Egyptians. Remember, you can find that in the book of Leviticus. That's spelled Leviticus, chapter 23, verse 5. And right after that, you have the festival of the unleavened bread. That unleavened bread is bread that does not have yeast in it when baking. And that festival is found in Leviticus chapter 23, verses 6 through 14. And it lasts, I think, from April the 23rd. The Passover should be April the 22nd, and the Feast of Unleavened Bread will last from April the 23rd through the 29th. And hopefully I will get a call back saying that you can come and visit that church where I have learned so much. I will visit them every now and then. And that's why I'm recommending that you go to them. In fact, there are two churches. One is on Hamilton in Detroit, and the other one is on East 8 Mile. It might be West 8 Mile Road, but I don't have a good car. But my car has been holding up. I want a new car. Sometimes it scares me. And that's why I have not been attending either one of those services. Now, sheep, let us get into today's lesson. Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Now, you will find that in the book of Luke, chapter 7. Let's read. And I pray that our Heavenly Father will allow me to read all of it. Luke chapter 7, verse 1 reads, "Now when he had ended all his sayings in the audience of the people, he entered into Capernaum." Capernaum, if you will, go to your Maps on the computer and Google Capernaum, that's spelled Capernaum, and just put in that little place on the computer, I guess you call it the address place, put near Sea of Galilee, and Galilee, I think it's spelled G-A-L-I-L-E-E. Verse 2. And a certain centurion's servant, who was dear unto him, was sick and ready to die. And when he had heard of Jesus, he sent unto him the elders of the Jews, beseeching means asking him that he would come and heal his servant. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, saying, he was a worthy, let me read verse 4 again. And when they came to Jesus, they besought him, they asked, besought means to ask him instantly, saying, he that was worthy for whom he should do this, for he loveth our nation, and he has built us a synagogue. Well, a synagogue is a place of worship, and this reminds me that we have been enslaved 3 times, first in Egypt, where we built those Egyptian buildings. I forget what they're called right now. Then we were enslaved in Jerusalem by the Romans, and now we are in the United States of America. We are still in bondage and don't even know that we are. Look at what the governor of Michigan takes responsibility of in Flint. We are still under the white rule. And let me tell you, if you don't know, when I was in school, I didn't pay much attention. I was at the university level. But let me tell you just this, is that Rome at one time ruled over England and for maybe about 80 to 100 years or less. And then they left. And so many of the English ideas come from Rome. And that's how I'm thinking, like, the White House of the United States has been built that like that. But nonetheless, we have been enslaved by Egypt, Rome, and England. And that was, well, the United States. And, of course, England at one time ruled the United States. Sheep, have you ever wondered why the, and I'm getting off my subject, the first person to die in the United States against England was a black man? Have you ever wondered why? Well, I have a little bit, and I'll share this with you, and then start reading and pick up reading at verse 6 in Luke chapter 7. There were a group of Moors that came to the United States of America. They were escaping. They were running from Spain. Spain took over. They left beautiful churches and synagogues. I don't know why the Moors are not speaking out. There are few left in the United States. The truth needs to be told to the world. While you have that opportunity, Moors, I beg of you to tell it where I can hear it. Tell it on the internet, as well as there's a radio TV station that I watch most of the time in Detroit. That's WHPR Channel 33 for TV Channel 91 on Comcast. Now, let's pick up reading Luke chapter 7 at verse 6. Then Jesus went with them, and when he was now not far from the house of the centurion, sent friends to him, saying unto him, Lord, trouble not yourself, for I am not worthy that you should enter under my roof. And I'm thinking he's racist here, but Jesus thinks otherwise. I need to change my, because I am a new creature in Jesus, I need to change my thinking. Perhaps I wouldn't worry so much. Verse 7, wherefore neither thought I myself worthy to come unto you, but say in a word, and my servant shall be healed. He was testing Jesus here, I believe, as well. For I am a man set under authority, having under me soldiers, and I say unto one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he cometh, and to my servant, do this, and he does it. Verse 9. When Jesus heard these things, he marveled at him. Marvel means he was amazed at him, and turned him about and said unto those people that followed him, I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. This is why, one of the reasons why we are slaves to this day. We fail to be obedient to Jesus' teachings as well as to the laws of Moses and the prophets. Verse 10, and they that were sent returned to the house, found the servant whole that had been sick. And it came to pass the day after that he went into a city called Nain, and that is an Arab village near Galilee. And many of his disciples went with him, and much people. And when he came near to the gate of the city, behold, there was a dead man carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow. And much people of the city was with her. Verse 13. And when the Lord saw her, he had compassion. Compassion means pity, means pity or concern on her, and said unto her, weep not. And he came and touched the bier. A bier is like a stretcher. Excuse me, I'm burping for some reason. I think when I tell you a truth, my body begins to burp. Let me start reading verse 14 again. And he came and touched the bier, and the bier is a stretcher, and they that bore him stood still. The men that were carrying him on the stretcher stood still. And he said, young man, I say unto you, arise. And he that was dead sat up and began to speak. And he delivered him to his mother. And there came a fear on all, and they glorified God. Now he's God. Glorified means to honor, praise, or exalt Jesus, whom they have called God, saying that a great prophet is risen among us, and that God has visited his people. Verse 17, And this rumor of him went forth throughout all Judea and throughout all the region round about. And the disciples of John showed him of all these things. And John, calling unto him two of his disciples, sent them to Jesus, saying, Are you he that should come, or look we for another? Now, at that time, the people were looking for the Messiah. And yes, Jesus is the Messiah. They didn't quite realize it then. And of course, many people don't realize it now. Let's pick up reading at verse 20. When the men were come unto him, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto you, saying, Are you he that should... Let's start that again, verse 20. My mind got distracted because I was looking at how my computer was misbehaving in my view. Verse 20. When the men came unto him, the him is Jesus, they said, John Baptist has sent us unto you, saying, Are you he that should come, or we look for another? And in that same hour, he cured many of their infirmities. Infirmities mean sicknesses, illnesses, or whatever diseases, and plagues, and of evil spirits. And unto many that were blind, he gave sight. Then Jesus answered and said unto them, Go your way and tell John. I want you sheep to know that John the Baptist is Jesus's, or was Jesus' cousin. From readings in John and Luke chapter 3. And Luke chapter 3 was fascinating. After I finished reading this, reading chapter 7, maybe I will tell you more about what I think of John, of Luke chapter 3. Let's start in Luke chapter 7, pick up at verse 22. Then Jesus answering, saying unto them, Go your way and tell John what things you have seen and heard, and how that the blind see, the lame walk, the lepers are cleansed, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, to the poor the gospel is preached, and blessed is he whosoever shall not be offended. And offended means insulted or upset in me. Verse 24. And when the messengers of John were departed, he began to speak unto the people concerning John, What went you out into the wilderness to see? A reed? A reed is a tall, slender plant. It says, a reed shaken by the wind. And he's saying the reed moving back and forth by the wind. Verse 25. But what went you out for to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Raiment means clothes. Behold, they which are gorgeously appareled and live delicately are in the king's court. He's letting them know that John the Baptist was not gorgeously dressed in apparel. Verse 26. But what went you out for to see? A prophet. Yea, I say unto you, or Yes, I say unto you, and much more than a prophet. This is he whom is written, behold, I will send my messenger, and that's John the Baptist, before your face, which shall prepare the way before you. And you can find that in Malachi, that's spelled Malachi, chapter 3, verse 1. You can find verse 27. And let me read verse 27 again for you, where it says, this is he of whom it is written, behold, I send my messenger before your face, which shall prepare the way before you. Verse 28, for I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist. You get that, sheep? That's what Jesus is saying, not what Paul was saying. So many of your preachers preach Paul this and Paul that, but I preach to you, or I minister or read unto you what's written in the Bible that Jesus said, or Yeshua. You know that the Idumeans, the Edomite, or the white man changed Jesus' name from Yeshua to Jesus. We're reading about our Heavenly Father's Son, Yeshua, Yahweh. And that's Yahweh's name is found someplace else. I will have to tell you that at a later date because it does not come to my memory. I am focused on trying to finish reading Luke chapter 7. Let's pick up reading at verse 28 again. For I say unto you, among those that are born of women, there is not a greater prophet than John the Baptist, but he is that is least in the kingdom of God is greater than he. Verse 29, and all the people that heard him and the publicans, remember I said to you earlier in another chapter that publicans are tax collectors, justified God being baptized with John the Baptist. But the Pharisees and the lawyers, those are scribes, rejected the counsel of God against themselves, being not baptized of him. Well, they were not baptized by John the Baptist. This is what Jesus or Yeshua is saying to the people. Verse 31, and the Lord said, whereunto then shall I liken the men of this generation to what are they like? They are like unto children sitting in the marketplace and calling one to another and saying, we have piped, that means played music unto you, and you have not danced. We have mourned to you, and you have not wept. But John the Baptist came, neither eating bread nor drinking wine. And you say he has a devil. Verse 34, the Son of Man, he's talking about Jesus, or Yeshua, is talking about himself now. Verse 34, the Son of Man is come eating and drinking, and you say, behold, a gluttonous man. Gluttonous means greedy man, and a wine bibber. A wine bibber is a wine drinker, a friend of publicans. Publicans are tax collectors and sinners. But wisdom justified here means, but wisdom is righteous of all her children. Wisdom, in verse 34, 5 reads, wisdom is justified of all our children, but I'll read it to you as I understand it. But wisdom is righteous of all her children. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. Now, see, I want you to remember who the Pharisees and scribes were. The Pharisees are those people who criticized Jesus for keeping Moses' laws and the laws of the prophets. And the scribes, they called lawyer here, are those who interpreted the scriptures of the prophets as well as the interpretation of Moses' laws. And let me go back up to verse 36. And one of the Pharisees desired him that he would eat with him. And he went unto the Pharisee's house and sat down to meat. And behold, a woman in the city, which was a sinner, when she knew that Jesus sat at meat in the Pharisee's house, brought an alabaster box of ointment and stood at his feet behind him weeping, and began to wash his feet with tears, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head, and kissed his feet, and anointed them with the ointment. Now, when the Pharisees, which had bidden means invited him, the him is Jesus, saw it, he spake within himself, saying, this man, if he were a prophet, would have known who and what manner of woman this is touching him, for she is a sinner. And Jesus answering said to him, Simon, I have somewhat to say unto you. And he said, Master, say on. And we're in verse 41. There was a certain creditor which had two debtors, one owed 500 pence and the other 50. Verse 42. And when they had nothing to pay, he frankly forgave them both, telling, tell me therefore, which one of them will love him most? Simon answered and said, I suppose that he to whom he forgave most. And he, Jesus, said unto him, thou hast rightly judged. Verse 44. And he is talking about, that he is Jesus. Are you sure? And he turned to the woman and said unto Simon, seest you this woman? I entered into your house. You gavest me no water for my feet, but she has washed my feet with her tears and wiped them with her hairs of her head. Verse 45. You gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased. Cease means stop, kiss my feet. Let me read verse 45 again, and hopefully I'll read it better where you will better understand. Thou gavest me no kiss, but this woman, since the time I came in, has not ceased to kiss my feet. She did not stop to, well, she kissed his feet. Verse 46, my head with oil you did not anoint, but this woman has anointed my feet with ointment. Verse 47, wherefore I say unto you, her sins, which are many, are forgiven, for she loved much, But to whom little is given, the same loveth little. Verse 48, and he said unto her, your sins are forgiven. And they that sat at meat with him began to say within themselves, who is this that forgiveth sin also? And he's talking about Jesus, are you sure? Verse 50, and he said unto the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. Let me read verse 50 again. And he said unto the woman, your faith has saved you. Go in peace. See, we have finished reading Luke chapter 7 in its entirety. Jesus heals a centurion's servant. Not only that, he forgave a woman of her sins. And that is powerful to me. Oh, now I was got someplace in this book I forgot. I said if I had time, I would go back and tell you about my understanding of how Rome at one time captured England, and England was under Rome's authority for maybe 100 years or less. But that's not important to me. I just want you to know that I know that, and that information I am sharing with you, because when I was at school, at the university level, I didn't want to pay attention to what I should have, and I should have paid attention to my teacher taught about Constantine. I can remember that day just as plainly in my head. I rolled my eyes. I don't want to hear this mess. That is what I was saying. And today, Constantine, what he has done is still going on today. He changed Jesus' Sabbath to a Sunday, and where most people watch every Sunday. And us black folk, that's where we go. We try to pay homage to God, but we're doing it on the wrong day. Let's have a closing word of prayer, sheep. My wonderful sheep, thank you for listening. And tell your family and friends about the Feed My Sheep show on Blog Talk Radio that comes on Saturday mornings at 8 o'clock a.m. Let's say our prayer to our Father in heaven. Father in heaven, we, your lost sheep, thank you for all things, especially your constant protection from the evil one. We thank you for leading us not into temptation and delivering us from evil. We thank you for giving us this day our daily bread and forgiving us our debts as we forgive our debts. We say that prayer. I say that prayer in Yeshua's name, also known as Jesus. Amen. If you have time, sheep, I want you to go to Amazon.com and purchase my three books, The Broken Plant, that's a children's book, The Unseen, and The Passing. Those are for anyone over the age of 16. Everyone can read my books. Then I want you to go and get this book called How to Eat and Live Longer by Dr. Reginald J. Eby. Go to www.eatandliveLonger.com and purchase that wonderful book. It tells you how to eat. And Leviticus chapter 11 tells you how to eat. stay away from swine meat. The stores in my neighborhood are full of swine meat. You don't eat that swine meat. Follow Jesus. And
Father,
you can disagree with your pastor, or not all of them.
Help your children.
Our Heavenly Father, you have been allowed.
Don't let them fall.
Know how to read for yourself.
By
read
the
Bible. And get it under
of the road.
I love you. But God loves you more. Remember to take our Heavenly Father
to love
where you
one
go.
Another.
And
that heaven might find
chapter 4
of faith
15,
in their heart.
If it's God's will, I will be back with you.
Jesus. He won't let you down, and I know He loves forever in my heart. We've got to walk on. Walk on through temptation, 'cause He's love, and His wisdom will be our helping hand. I know the truth, and His word will be our salvation. Lift up our hearts. Jesus.